Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Whitlock's pitch is a line drive, base hit into right center. A long run for O'Neill. He slides to the ball to keep it from going to the warning track. Langford scores. Himes at third. Jared Walsh delivers an RBI single, and the Rangers lead it 1-0.
Oh, Hixey with a call. It just feels good to be able to hear some baseball calls on 105.3. The Fan, you can hear every game right here on The Fan. Remember tomorrow, a Rangers ticket giveaway, Astros series for the April 5th.
100-level seats, baby.
100-level seats. 100-level seats.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Hundo P.
Juicy. That'll be the April 5th through the 8th series. That's a Friday through Monday. You don't usually see a Friday to Monday series all that often, but that's what we're going to have for that series. And joining us now to get us set for the start of the Rangers regular season, the great Jared Sandler. Morning, Jared. How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning, fellas.
Hi, Jared. How are you? How's your bracket?
It's actually doing all right. I have not lost an Elite Eight team yet, and
really?
I don't remember the last time that I didn't lose a Final Four team on the first 2 days of the tournament. So I'm not like off to this like amazing start because I did miss. I mean, I've missed plenty of games, but I haven't lost any of the teams that I'm hoping to carry me deep.
I'm in the same spot as you. I'm in last in our bracket right now from points, but I'm also the only one who hasn't lost an Elite Eight team. So, like, my futures look better than everybody else's.
Yeah,
they've all lost it. Like, Choppy's already lost half his Final Four. He had Kentucky and Baylor in there. So, he's almost screwed at this point because one of his other Final Four picks was a homer pick, and he put Tennessee in there. So he's in trouble now.
I mean, I don't know how much of a homer pick it is. A lot of people have him there. Sailor probably has him in there. Who knows?
Who's that? Tennessee?
Yeah.
No, I don't have Tennessee.
Do you have us losing this week to Creighton?
Yes, I do.
Yeah!
Lame.
I have Creighton in the Elite Eight, too, Sandler. Look at us. We're here.
Yeah.
Here, since we're so much in agreement already, I'm going to lead off with a Rangers question that I hope we're in agreement with, because it's another disagreement Choppy and I were having yesterday. Okay, we were talking about Wyatt Langford, and I don't know, did you see Keith Law doing a Q&A this week where he was like, hey, the Wyatt Langford hype train is getting a little out of control. Like we're starting to put too high of expectations on the guy. Not like he was down on Wyatt Langford, but almost like, hey, we're putting unreasonable expectations on him. So Choppy says his over-under for Wyatt Langford's OPS as to whether it's a successful season or not is 962. Is that an unreasonable expectation to place on Wyatt Langford?
Yeah. Were you serious, Chubby?
No, I was just using Trout's rookie year numbers. I was like, look, this is what I'm expecting out of him because he is Mike Trout.
Got it. Yeah, I do think that the hype train is getting ridiculous. That's not to say he – you know, couldn't be on the precipice of starting a Hall of Fame career, or maybe, you know, career with several All-Star games or, you know, All-Star honors. There are people who are trying to crown him, and the kid hasn't even played a single major league game. And I'm not saying that like out of skepticism, I'm saying that out of, just the patience that's required for young kids when they come up, and maybe hits the ground running or sprinting and has this awesome year and he is, you know, top 10 in the MVP voting or whatever it might be. But it's also very possible that Wyatt Langford ends up being a guy who is one of the best players in baseball, but in his very first season has some peaks and valleys that are not out of the ordinary for a young hitter. So the thing that I do think is really beneficial for him is he is entering a lineup on a really good team, and it's a really good lineup. And so he's not necessarily looked at as the guy. You know, you got Semien, you have Seager, you've got Adolis, and you know, you've got Evan Carter and Josh Young. And I'm not saying he ranks behind all of those guys, but it's not like teams are going to look at the Rangers lineup and say, ah, to heck with those guys. We got to worry about Wyatt. So I do think that will help him ease into it. But yeah, some of these expectations I'm seeing just because he had a good spring, or it's getting to the point where it's a little bit out of hand. Not saying he can't meet them, but it does seem like if he falls just short of whatever lofty expectations people are setting, they're going to be disappointed when you got to remember how young this kid is.
Do you, so he was in the sixth spot. Where do you think he slides in then?
So I don't really know. I think it's fair. It's fair to expect him to kind of move around early on against a lefty. Here's the thing. The Rangers are facing Justin Steele on Thursday. He's a lefty. So that lineup is probably going to look a lot different than the lineup that we'll see more often than not against a righty. The only thing I think we know are that it's going to go Semien and Seager to lead off the lineup. You know, what happens after, could you see Evan Carter hitting third? Yes. Could you see Wyatt Langford hitting third? Yes. Could you see Josh Young hitting third? Yeah. I guess so. I shared with you guys that I would love to see Wyatt Langford hitting third against righties and lefties to start the season. But I totally would understand, you know, in concert with what I just said about expectations, I would totally understand if you're like, hey, let's let him get his feet wet hitting, you know, fifth or sixth, and then we can, you know, see where he best fits. The thing that I think about is the Rangers last year had such an elite lineup and ability to score runs, and they did it without legitimate production out of the three hole or production out of the three hole that is commensurate for that spot pretty much throughout the year, which, you know, you would not typically get. It's like if I told you the Rangers didn't get great production out of their seven hole, but they still had one of the best lineups in baseball, you'd be like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. If I told you before the year, hey, the Rangers are going to have below league average production out of the three hole, you would not then draw the conclusion that they could have one of the best lineups in baseball. So there's definitely a need and an opportunity for someone to kind of grab the reins there.
Talking with Jared Sandler on the D&M leasing hotline here on Sean and RJ on 105 through the Fan. You know, we talk about the Wyatt Langford, like, hey, he's still a young player. The ups and downs are to be expected. Do you feel like because of the experience, the big game experience that Evan Carter got at the end of the season, are we past those sorts of expectations? Or do you think, hey, just because we saw some meaningful contributions at the end of the year, you got to remember Evan Carter, still a young player. And so if there are any, you know, struggles at the beginning of the season, just recognize that's part of the process of a young player coming along.
Yeah, I think that we did learn stuff last year, and I don't think it was nothing that he performed well in the postseason, because that's the most intense scouting and the, you know, the best pitching, and you're not dealing with a fifth starter or the seventh or eighth guy in the bullpen. You're dealing with the best of the best, right? So there's something to it. With that said, as we know, even though there's so much more data available when guys are coming up through the minors, it just isn't the same as when major league teams get their eyes on these guys. Major league pitchers with major league stuff get their eyes on these guys. And so I do think you're going to still see some growing pains, or I think it's very possible. And I think specifically against left-handed pitching, I think there are a lot of people who they're of the belief, well, he just can't hit lefties. And I don't necessarily feel that way. I don't think that Evan Carter, with the ability that he has shown at 21 years old, is just not ever going to be able to hit lefties. With that said, I would fully expect there to be some growing pains along the way. And I would also expect that there are going to be times when maybe he sits against a tough lefty, but I think the Rangers are going to do their best to expose him to as many lefties as possible to, you know, start to develop there. So I think there could be some growing pains for sure. And the thing with Evan Carter that I'd say also about Josh Young is, you know, it'd be, what I want to see is these guys play a full year healthy. You know, Josh Jung has had injuries along the way. Evan Carter, same thing. These guys are in the lineup, you're going to be fine. Growing pains or not, if you got Evan Carter and Josh Jung in the lineup, you're going to be heading in the right direction. The key is, you know, wanting these guys to stay healthy and doing what you can to keep them in the lineup.
I was just going through the schedule, and I hadn't heard anything about this, but they have two 10-game road trips before the second week of May. Is that abnormal? I mean, you maybe get two a whole year to a 10-game road trip. They got two in the first 35 days?
Yeah, so I could be wrong, RJ. I think I'm trying to remember. I think last year we had three city trips, so 9 or 10, and I want to say two of them were completed before the end of May. And I just, maybe that's just a random quirk of the schedule, but I do recall having two of those three city trips early. I could be wrong. I think it was before the end of May, so it wouldn't be supremely different from, I guess, what the schedule is this year. But yeah, I mean, here's the thing. When you play in the AL West, and I know that, you know, it's not that both these trips are in the AL West, but when you play in the AL West, that usually knocks out one of your three city trips mm-hmm. during the season, because you're so far away from three of the four other teams in your division. So it's kind of ridiculous. But yeah, I think teams typically have three throughout the year. And so, you know, two in one half, one in the other. And I guess for the Rangers for the second straight year, it's front loaded, which, hey, by the way, I'd rather it be that than backloaded, right? I'd rather the Rangers have get two of their three city trips out of the way in the first half and only have one in the second half.
Do they know, or I know they haven't announced it, because I was looking at ESPN's, you know, scheduled starters after Eovaldi, because they've got, you know, the first six opponents. How's it going to look after Nate in terms of the starting rotation?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I think if you were to just order it by, you know, who you, like, power ranking the rotation, you'd probably go Eovaldi, Gray, Dunning, Heaney, and Bradford, or if Michael Lorenzen is ready to be in the rotation, then, you know, maybe you work. I'd imagine he'd be closer to the back end just because he's throwing a bullpen, doing what he can to get ready. He'll throw a bullpen today, and the Rangers will have a better understanding of where he is, how close he is. But I think the thing to consider is this. Nathan Eovaldi and John Gray both are guys who you feel comfortable going 90 to 100 pitches. Let's just, for the sake of the conversation, say that it's Bradford, who will get a start. Bruce Bochy had said, or maybe it was Christian that said, that Cody Bradford will get a start first time through. And the Rangers early on, RJ, you know, let's talk about schedule quirks. Early on, they have a stretch of 17 games in 17 days, which is not necessarily always the most ideal at the very beginning of the season, because pitchers are trying to just, you know, get back into the swing of things. So they'll use probably six, maybe even a seventh starter during that stretch. But for the sake of the conversation, let's say it's Heaney, Dunning, and Bradford joining Gray and Eovaldi. Heaney, Dunning, and Bradford are guys you probably are more likely to see go 65 to 80 pitches as opposed to 90 to 100. And if you go with those three guys consecutively, then you're putting a lot of burden on, potentially, on your bullpen. Three straight games where they might have to provide you with some length. So with that said, I don't know that the Rangers would do this. And again, the addition of Michael Lorenzen, if he is ready to start, even if it's just give you five innings, changes the conversation, because you could have six starters your first and maybe third turn through. But they might be interested in breaking up Dunning, Heaney, and Bradford, and having one of those guys start the second game, just to give the bullpen a little bit of an opportunity to not have to necessarily be prepared for those three guys consecutively, if that makes sense.
Jared, on Michael Lorenzen, you know, just your thoughts on the signing, and also what changed for him after the trade to the Phillies, do you think? Because he had been really steady for Detroit. I mean, five innings minimum for like 20 consecutive starts, and then things just kind of fell apart in the second half after the trade to Philly.
Yeah, I think there are a few things. One, Michael Lorenzen is a pitch-to-contact guy, and when he's at his best, he is a ground ball pitcher. And the Phillies, not known for having a good defense. Matter of fact, they were largely criticized for having a very poor defense. So who knows how that played a role. I'd have to go back and look at every start and you know, see, hey, that was converted into an out in Detroit, and that would likely be an out in Texas. Because remember, the Rangers defensively had a Gold Glove winner behind the plate, a Gold Glove winner at first, a guy at third who, had he not gotten hurt, probably would have gotten consideration. Finalists at short and second, with the second baseman having won a Gold Glove earlier in his career, a Gold Glove winner in right, a really good center fielder, and then when Evan Carter joined, a really good left fielder. This team converted batted balls and outs as well as any team in Major League Baseball last year. That will help Michael Lorenzen. The thing he talked about was that so the workload for him was more than any other year, right? So he threw 153 innings in total. He had never in a full season eclipsed more than 113, and that was all the way back in 2015. So if you look at years prior, we're talking about double digits, not triple digits. What he talked about, though, was not just the raw innings count, but the tinkering in between starts and the amount of pitches he threw in his bullpens that maybe contributed to wearing him down. Some pitchers, you know, everyone goes about it a different way. Some pitchers, you know, might throw 20 pitches in their bullpen in between starts, some 30, maybe some less. You know, I think it depends on how much tinkering or adjusting they're trying to do to get the feel of a certain grip, if they feel like they've, you know, lost the pitch for, you know, a start or two, whatever it might be. He was saying he was throwing upwards of 40 to 50 pitches in between starts. And in his words, if he could go back, he would change that. So I think the experience of pitching those innings, you know, is hopefully helpful. But it's tough to say if that is exactly the reason, but he did seem to suggest that he wore down and his stuff wasn't as sharp as the year progressed.
Jared Sandler here on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Appreciate it, man. Not too late to change that Creighton, Tennessee pick. You know, you can make that change if you want to, but whatever.
Well, if you, hey, so, you know, they have these Sweet 16 brackets or whatever. If you had a repick, who are you picking to win it all?
Oh, no, it's UConn. I have UConn to win it all anyway. Oh, they
okay.
Are.
All right, so nothing's changed.
No, I wouldn't. I may change. Yeah, I probably wouldn't. I'd probably leave things as they were. UConn is the juggernaut, man.
Is there a team that's underwhelmed you?
Marquette.
No, actually, Marquette's impressed me.
Really?
Because they ended the season pretty poorly. Yeah, Tennessee's underwhelmed me. They did not play as well as I thought they would.
Okay.
Houston, maybe? I don't know. Duke's impressed me. I thought Duke was doing better than they would have. I had them out in the second round.
They rallied around the Kyle Filipowski not they being did. Able to play
right.
ever again.
They're really excited because there's no like court storming in March Madness, so they all feel safe.
I know, right? All right, brother, appreciate it. Maybe we'll tell you later this week.
Bye, love you, Jared.
Jared Sandler, join us here. That was
you know who else is excited about opening day? Jeremy Williams, the biggest Rangers fan in all the world, according to the 682. Wanted us to give him a shout out.
Yeah. Okay,
Adriana, big fan of the show. She said, "Shout out to the love of my life, Jeremy, biggest Rangers fan." So
very nice.
He's pumped.
Shedeur Sanders did something that a lot of athletes do, and I am absolutely here for it. Talk about that next year on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Breaking NFL news to get to. From the league meetings in Orlando.
I just saw Mother Football walking behind Jeff Darlington
on his ESPN show. Shireen.
The great Shireen Williams. We do. Yeah, the NFL has approved the revamped kickoff format. What is that revamped kickoff format? We'll tell you more about it next segment during Below the Belt.
I saw it. I think I'm excited about it.
Oh, I'm definitely excited about it. I want the kickoff to come back.
Yeah. I think it's going to create more energy, more intrigue, and more playmaking. We're all for playmaking, man. The more playmaking you get, the better. Okay, so that's coming up in Below the Belt, coming up next here on 105 The Fan. But let's get you some of this stuff. So Shedeur Sanders, he is Deion's kid.
Heard of him.
He is going to be a very high draft pick next year, they think.
He'll definitely, he is an NFL player for sure.
Yes, he is.
How high he goes, and I guess where he goes, is up to Deion.
It is. But he is, he's been on this talking point. I guess they got spring practices and everything, and he's been on this talking point about him being like overlooked. So he was speaking to the media. This popped up yesterday.
Well,
talking about Texas 6A high school football players.
I came from a private school, so at the end of the day, I dealt with a lot of negativity, a lot of hate, a lot of everything I done dealt with already year after year. I came from a small private school. All the other kids was going big, you know, Power 5, and they went to big 6A, Texas 6A schools and stuff. I don't see those same kids around. I don't see them excelling in their programs or whatever they're doing. So I've always been against the odds, like, in different ways.
All right, I love this. This
is a bit of a shot.
Yeah, this is what he's doing. A lot of times, great athletes will lie to themselves.
Create motivational tactics
for themselves.
They'll set up the straw man argument.
Yeah. This is one of the dumbest arguments anybody can make. I went and did some research with the help of social media that already posted some of these.
Well.
Half of this year's college Final Four was quarterbacked by Texas 6A high school football players.
Yeah, that's
Milroe and Quinn.
Yeah. I mean, Milroe's not very good. But so if he's talking about success in terms of how they are on the football field.
He made a Final Four. 20% of.
He was gifted a Final Four chop. We've been over this.
20% of the NFL first team All Pros were Texas high school football players.
Take that, Georgia. Take that, Florida.
Four of the quarterbacks in the NFL playoffs were Texas high school football quarterbacks. Like. You do
who
this to
they?
Me.
Do you know off the top who the?
Okay, so you had Baker.
Okay.
You had Mahomes.
Yep.
You had Hurts.
Yes. I always forget Hurts is
Houston, right?
Yeah. I always forget he's from Houston.
And there was a man back in Louisiana. Who was the other quarterback?
I'll find it. Yeah, you can continue with that while I look for the quarterback, but.
Now you're going to kill me with this one.
Continue with your Shedeur Sanders.
So you had that. It's just like, this is just all this is a tactic to get propped up. This is like to motivate yourself. I have
Stafford.
No problem. Stafford. Duh. It's all it is. It's a tactic to get propped up, to build yourself up. I am totally for this. I love professional athletes do this. I have no problem with it. You got to do what you got to do to get motivated. If he has to tell himself that he was overlooked, and, you know, Bama didn't give him an offer, and Georgia didn't give him an offer, and all those schools didn't give him offers, which from what I read, they did.
He was a good recruit, yeah.
He was just going to play for his dad.
Is this a little bit like a couple weeks ago when LeBron was saying, everyone doubted me, everyone wanted to see me, everyone wanted to see me fail. They all said, there's no way this kid will actually be what they say he's going to be.
Right, here you go. These are the official offers. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. These are the offers that Shedeur got. According to ESPN. By the way, he had a four-star recruit, 86th overall, 8th in the state, 13th at the position. Jackson State, obviously he signed there. Bama, Baylor, Florida, Florida State, Georgia, LSU, Michigan, Oregon, Penn State, South Carolina, Tennessee, UCLA, and others like some directional schools like UCF and Southern Miss and stuff, but you have plenty of others. Louisville, Illinois State. But the guy had offers everywhere.
Yeah. It's funny. It's like, you know who Nate Bargatze is? stand-up comedian.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's tremendous.
Nate's very funny. Nate has a bit where he says he always cracks up at watching the MVP trophy presentation for the NBA Finals because he's like, you know, it'll be some seven-foot guy up there, and he'll be like, this one goes out to all the people who never believed in me. He goes, really? I mean, you're the size of a tree. Nobody ever thought I'm going to bet on this kid.
Yeah.
No one in your life ever thought were going to become something that you might have some potential.
Yeah. Come on now. We know better than that. Let's be real on this one. So that's Shador. Deion, meanwhile, we'll stick with Colorado. Deion's in the news. Basically, he's saying that his kid and Travis Hunter, you better know where you are as a organization and where you're located. It's on the $1 Million Worth of Game podcast. Better know who you are when they get drafted.
Where do you predict Shador and Travis going in the draft?
Top four.
Ooh, that's pretty beautiful.
Anywhere from 1 through 4. One of them is going to be one. Mm.
That's what I'm talking about.
One of them is going to be
speaking into existence.
And the latter one would not go behind four. Now, all this is subjective because I know where I kind of want them to go. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget Shallow, okay? Mm-hmm. But I know where I want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't going to happen.
It's okay, you on point?
It's going to be it's going to be an Eli.
You'll no. Be an Eli.
No.
No, it's not?
No, yeah, this is, I hate this.
It happens.
It does happen. And it happened with Elway, and it happened with Eli. And it's why I, for their entire careers, viewed them as soft, spoiled little brats. That's not how the draft works. This isn't free agency. And if this whole NIL thing is going to create more of the thought that they can do whatever they want and pick wherever they want to go, you don't get to. And I can't imagine the NFL loves Deion insinuating before these guys are even draft eligible that no. They're not going to certain NFL cities.
Yeah, this works if you're the first overall pick.
Yeah.
If you're the fifth overall pick, it doesn't really work. You can't really do that.
No, unless Deion's gonna get what he wants. I mean, if he wants to do that. Now, I saw something.
So what are they gonna do? Let's say Travis Hunter gets drafted by give me a place that nobody wants to go. A team nobody wants to go play for.
A city or a team?
It's a team.
Team nobody wants to go play for, it feels like, the Commanders.
All right. Let's say they get drafted by Washington. He at five. What's he going to do? If you're not the number one pick, I don't know that you have that kind of power.
Well, here's what's interesting. He said there were certain cities that fit. Atlanta fit, and I want, talking about for him, and I want that for my kids, all of them. I want the right fit. Atlanta was the first time I saw black people in positions of authority. It blew my mind. It was real in Atlanta. I'd never seen anything like that in my life. He also mentioned San Francisco, Dallas, Washington, and Baltimore. What do those all have in common?
He played for them.
Oh, he played for them. As acceptable destinations for Travis Hunter and Shador Sanders. It's also one thing for Deion to be influencing where Shador goes. Archie tried to influence where Eli was going with everything else. It feels really weird. No matter how close they are, for the coach to be dictating where Travis Hunter goes.
Well,
think this is weird if Saban was doing this?
I don't know the family situation. I don't know if Travis has family that's still alive that's in the picture. I have no idea. Maybe he's taking on a fatherly figure.
Maybe that's what it is.
And I have no problem with that. You know, people need fathers and fatherly figures, and however you get them, whether they're biological or through some friendship or whatever. However you get those father figures, I think it's important for young men and young women, for that matter. So I got no problem with that if that's the route he has taken.
Well,
I think it's honorable.
It says 4 days ago.
Whether or not he's doing it for intentions or not is a different story.
No, I know. It says 4 days ago, apparently, he bought his mom a new house in Savannah, Georgia. So it's not like there's no one.
Yeah, but he said mom, so maybe there's not a dad.
But
I don't know. Maybe he's using
either,
a father
either way,
figure.
I do think it's odd for – like, I think we'd be critical of I think we'd be critical of Sark trying to tell people, well, Tua's not going to that city.
No, you're right. It would.
And plus, Lincoln Riley saying, we're not going to let Caleb Williams go
also,
to Chicago.
You never see it without it with a non-quarterback.
Yes.
You never see it with a non-quarterback.
Because those positions don't have power.
Right.
They don't have the power of the quarterback.
Exactly.
But did that not give you a sour taste in your mouth about Eli for his entire career? When they're just like, we're not going to the Chargers. It made him seem like a spoiled. That's where I got some of the perception that he is a whiny, spoiled, just brat. It came from that. Elway, I always had that view of Elway. I wasn't even around when that happened with Elway, but the first time I became conscious of that's what Elway did when I was younger, I was like, that dude is a little bee, and I don't want to root for him. I hope he has no success. I'm glad he's lost 3 Super Bowls at the time is what I thought, and then he won 2 and made me mad at the end of his career. But you don't see Ryan Tannehill saying, I'm not going to Miami, and they're the same player.
That's true. That's true. You don't see that at all. But there's Deion. There's Deion kind of trying to dictate on where Shador and Travis Hunter go. He wouldn't be the first to do it. And
he is. I think he would be one of the first, like, that I can recall. I think he would be the first coach dictating this.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But he is a dad. Are you saying nothing? You didn't go on home visits?
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing, really quickly, because we'll jump to break here in a sec. But that came out that USA Today said so far during Deion's entire time at Colorado since 2022, he has made 0 home visits for recruiting. None.
Wow.
It's an interesting approach. He's all portal, baby.
Dude.
That's all he wants. He's the anti-Dabo.
Dude, that is insane. That is crazy. Wow. I don't know how you can win like that, but we'll see. All right, what's coming up next in Below the Belt?
One of Caleb Williams' teammates in Chicago, or future teammates, has already soured on him. That's next in Below the Belt on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. Peyton Russell is furious. He was mad during this break. He was dog cussing the NFL during the break. More on that in just a moment. Before we get to that, Jalen Johnson. You heard of him? You heard of this guy?
I've heard of
RJ
Choppy, yes.
He is the stud cornerback for the Chicago Bears. There's been some resistance to the idea of Caleb Williams in Chicago. We already know DJ Moore was a big fan of Justin Fields. There were a couple other people that expressed some pro-Justin Fields sentiment. And Jalen Johnson is the latest part of that. So Jalen Johnson went on with Corey Majors' side piece, Kay Adams. And he was talking about the air of entitlement that exists with some players. And the discussion of Caleb Williams kicked in. And this was his quote, Chop. You tell me if this is a good quote to have about the presumed number one pick and the guy about to come in and lead your locker room.
All right.
What you did in college, the Hollywood, it's like, nah, you got to prove yourself. That stuff, like, that doesn't matter. You got to get to know him, too. I think there's a fine line between trying to prove a point to him, but you also got to get to know him. Because at the end of the day, we want him to be the absolute best he can be. That's what we're bringing him in for, is to win games. I think truly just learning who he is as a person and learning him deeper than just all the Hollywood stuff you see, but actually trying to learn and get to know him and then knowing what pushes him. So that's kind of a lukewarm endorsement from one of your biggest players in Chicago, of Caleb Williams, to say, nah, okay, I'll get to know you, but when you get here, you better cut out that stuff I saw at USC. All that Hollywood stuff is over. You're not doing that here anymore. Is that the best footing to start off with your franchise quarterback there in Chicago?
I would think not. Look.
Because he says there's a fine line between trying to prove a point to him, but also you got to get to know him. So that means, hey, we gotta set you straight, because who I've seen is not who's going to come in here and lead this locker room. And that's a sincere question about Caleb Williams.
There are so the Cowboys are a glamour franchise, yep. Right? Caleb Williams would fit in here with the culture, the glamour culture.
Yes. I don't know how much the painted nails with FU on it would fit in here.
Right. Yeah, okay, I get that. Chicago, man, it just seems like a bad fit for him, like, in general. They seem like a no-nonsense, kind of like a lunch pail city. That I don't know that works there. They've never had a good quarterback.
I mean, imagine
everything
if
about
this,
them is boring.
Imagine if somebody said this about Dak, though, in the Cowboys locker room. We would be there'd be endless discussion about this and about the controversy that this would stir, because this is not the way you said. This is one of the things that the Bears had to watch out for when they made the trade where they sent Justin Fields away and committed to, we're going to take this number one pick, is you already had players on the record saying they didn't want to move away from Justin Fields. And now you've got, even after Justin Fields is gone, people not totally endorsing him. Not only just somebody, it's somebody who just paid a massive contract to. One of the best corners in the game in Jalen Johnson. It's just a bad, bad look, I feel like, from them. Speaking of bad looks, what the Cowboys have done in free agency, that's a pretty bad look, wouldn't you agree?
I think it's fine. I'm a big fan of what they did in free agency.
Wrong.
I know. Y'all want your you want to win free agency. You want to win the offseason.
Who am I talking to? Am I talking to Mike McCarthy? Because it sure sounds like it. Mike McCarthy talked to Adam Schefter on Monday, and Schefter asked him, "Hey, well, what is it exactly you feel when you see Washington, Philly, the Giants? They're all out there making moves to get better, and you're just the Cowboys are kind of sitting on their hands. How does that make you feel, Mike McCarthy?"
I'm a big believer in a second and third year jump. You know, we have some young players. We got some guys coming back off of IR that were young players that we're excited about. So we are definitely improving. You know, we're just not part of the free agent market right now.
So is that what Cowboys fans can hang their hat on, the fact that there are guys coming back that are going to be getting better, because people keep waiting for the Cowboys to make moves?
Well, I think that, and also there's a lot left. So I mean, it's, you know, you'll probably have a market right before the draft or post draft, and then you got your June 1st market, and, you know, obviously we'll have another draft class. So I have great confidence in our roster.
Okay. I think he's full of, you know what, with some of that. I also think that I think their plan has been fine. I think the overreact, put it this way, I think we have overreacted far more to the negative than we would have overreacted to the positive. Who was the best free agent on the market this year?
I mean, a lot of them didn't make it because of the franchise tags, but Chris Jones was generally thought of as the biggest one.
We think far more. Listen, if the Cowboys sign Chris Jones, the overreaction to the good is not as high as the overreaction to the bad is with what they've done.
Well, two things. One, is the reaction as bad if Jerry never says all in?
Yeah, that's the worst thing he's ever said.
No.
That's the worst comment he's ever made.
That's where him saying all in set this up to be 10 times worse.
Different definition. He didn't mean they're signing guys.
But that set it up to be so much worse, right? Like, is the reaction as harsh and as aggressive if he hadn't given fans the expectation that they were going to spend money?
It's not. That's his own fault. He shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have said it. What he should have said is, I'm going all in with the roster we have.
Yeah, like this is about making, I'm going all in terms of placing ultimate value on 2024 being a year of judgment. But that doesn't sound as catchy as all in.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. True. Now, the other question here, does Mike McCarthy believe what he just said? Or do you think Mike McCarthy is just trying to make the best of what is a difficult position to be put in answering that question?
It's a tough spot.
There's no way he really believes. There's zero chance he's thrilled with what they've done in free agency.
No, I think he would have rather have kept a lot of guys.
Or he just needs players. He needs guys on his roster.
He does.
Right now, like, I mean, you can make an argument that he doesn't know who three of his starters on the offensive line are. Because if you don't know where Tyler Smith is going to play, then that puts up, okay, I don't know which spot he's going to take, and then the other two, center, left guard, or left tackle, whatever's left over. I mean, center's definitely open, but you don't know about left guard or left tackle. So that can be, that's got to be frustrating for him. I also think it's funny, Schefter, how many other teams is Schefter, after somebody gives you a response to how free agency has been approached? To me, this just speaks to the Cowboys brand. I don't think if he's talking to Matt Eberflus, he's saying, is that your message to the Bears fans? Like when the Bears fans ask you about it, it's clear like you got that aggressive Cowboys brand. And now, the only person who's more angry than Cowboys fans are about free agency is Peyton Russell over the news that broke earlier this hour. The NFL has adopted for 1 year the new hybrid kickoff rule at the annual league meeting. So this is proposed for 1 year only. And Ryan, I sent you the photo. I don't know if you're able to get it, but it's a...
Yeah, you had to explain this to me.
Yeah, so you'll see it here. So there's a layout there if you're looking on the fan cam. So what this is the new kickoff rules will feature new alignments for both the kicking and the receiving units. There will be a landing zone, quote unquote.
All right, so the kickoff is from what yard line?
Still from the 35.
All right.
That has not changed.
That's not
the changed. Difference is the 10 defenders, the 10 players on the kicking unit, are now going to be lined up on the other side of the 50 at the 40-yard line. So they're going to be lined up on the receiving team's 40. And the receiving team is going to have a minimum. The receiving team lines up with at least 7 players at the 35, between the 30 and 35-yard line. And which are at the 35-yard line. You got 7 on the 35-yard line, and then you're allowed to have 2 back behind that, and then you've got 2 receiving deep. And that basically the idea here is that it'll be more like a block at the line of scrimmage, right? Instead of these field-long car crash collisions. So the idea is that it's going to be safer while also still allowing for returners to set up and make something happen. Which, if you're the Cowboys, I would think you'd be in super favor of this because it allows you to put Kevontae Turpin in a position to be a real weapon.
So do they think this is going to bring more returns out of it?
Yes.
Now, why would it? Because the problem, my interpretation of it right now, my assumption is that the reason guys don't return the ball more is because the kicks go out of the end zone a lot.
Yeah, but if you're catching it 8 yards deep and they're blocking each other at the 30, you're going to go, well, I can get to the 25, I bet.
Yeah, so now if your kick only goes to the end zone, the goal line.
Which plenty of them doing, guys just let the ball go over and they'll do the signal to just go. Yeah, they'll catch it and they'll run it out. Because apparently it's felt like they're trying to kill the rule or kill the kickoff. And they've said this offseason they're actually not. They want to see more of it.
Okay.
I mean, think about some of the most exciting players of our generation. Dante Hall. I mean, Deion did as a returner. Devin Hester.
Eric Metcalf.
Even guys like Josh Cribbs. Josh Cribbs doesn't have a career without kickoff returns.
Who's the guy? What's his name? Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah. Now, Patterson, he's developed into more of a player.
But
back in the day,
he was
absolutely.
Just that, yeah.
Peyton hates this, though. Peyton was mad during the break.
You hate fun? What's going on? You hate fun? You hate football?
Just the whole setup is silly. Having them at the 35, 40-yard line.
Mr. XFL. You would love this.
Yeah, no. Keep it in the XFL. Keep it there. You don't need to address it to the NFL.
So let me ask you this. Would you rather, and I don't, it's your opinion, whatever, it's cool.
He's mad this kills the onside kick, too.
Would you?
The surprise onside kick. It kills the
surprise. You can't have the 09 Sean Payton, the Super Bowl onside kick, because if you want the onside kick, you have to tell them, hey, we're doing the onside kick. You can't have the surprise onside kick. You can't squib kick it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you could squib, I bet.
Imagine if this was the veil, and then Manning would have 3 Super Bowls. People would completely look at
the You know who would, maybe you do want Bill Belichick now. Because Bill Belichick would find some way to abuse the hell out of this rule.
So, would you rather them keep it the same way then, or just get rid of it? Is that what you're saying?
If anything, get rid of it. I'd rather just get rid of
it. No, when did you grow up?
The touchbacks are still going to happen. They're still going to kick it out of the back of the end zone. Like, you're not going to get much of a return. You might get one every other week here and there, but you're not going to get much out of this. It just looks silly, too. It's ridiculous. Hmm.
I'm excited for this because it brings the kickoff return back into the game. And the Cowboys, while they have Kevontae Turpin, that's a legitimate weapon you have.
Yeah, they do.
That you haven't been able to use fully effectively. And so for me, I'm all about this. I love the kick return. Some of my favorite players growing up were guys, like I said, like Dante Hall, Devin Hester. They were like, that was an exciting part of the game. And it's just been killed. It's been ruined by the way that the NFL has set things up with, you know, kickoff return rules. Because, I mean, they used to kick from the 30 or whatever it was. Now they kick from the 35, and it's set things up to be more difficult.
There it is. Below
the belt.
The belt here on 105 through the fan. I am super excited for this next segment. we have audio. This is a gambler that was on the Sports Junkies. He's in D.C., which is our sister station out there, talking about the Shohei incident. And he says he has proof on exactly what was bet on. It's fantastic. Love it. It's coming up next on the fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.